Show, Bill Hendricks.
I don't.
All right, hold on. Welcome back, folks, to the world-famous Phil Hendricks Show. On the line with us is Brad Rifkin from Las Vegas as we talk about the new economy, the new economics, and we're discussing the restaurant business. And while we guys were away and we were away from you, I was talking with Margaret and Brad here about Nobu, right?
Yeah, Nobu is the guy. Nobu has the sushi place over here. But, you know, I knew this guy, and I know the guy down near you, Phil. He's got a sushi bar there in the Ventura area and north of L.A. And, hey, look, let me tell you, this guy I know, he says to me he knew Nobu when the guy was looking around. He was trying to scrounge up a green card off the street. And
well, let's not talk bad about the guy.
No, but he is. Everybody thinks he's this and that, and you know, and a bag of pork rinds. Hey, honey, can you turn that down, please?
It's getting kind of loud, yeah.
Right down. So anyway, this guy Nobu. So what has that got to do with anything?
Well, I was talking about Nobu because we were talking about the this restaurant Opaque that Dan was bringing up. Now, Opaque, as I understand, is completely dark.
Yeah, well, look, that's a gimmick. That's a gimmick.
Well, isn't what you're talking about a gimmick?
How's it a gimmick? I'm talking about leftovers. Is that a gimmick? Boy, ask the average American.
What I'm asking is this.
No, but let me ask you, Mr. A, don't you have leftovers?
I have leftovers that I share with my own family. I don't know that I would eat someone else's leftovers.
I would come to your house right now and eat. Well, I better not say.
You better not say what?
What don't you want to say?
Well, I think it sounds a little suggestive. I was going to say I'd come over to her house right now and eat her leftovers, but...
Well, I beg your pardon.
I'm trying to be a gentleman, okay?
Well, it would be more gentlemanly of you to just say it instead of drawing attention to it.
Yes, if you hadn't drawn attention to it...
I'm trying to be a gentleman. So I didn't want to say I'd go over to your house and eat your leftovers.
Well, the point being, you would go to Margaret's house and eat her leftovers.
Not with her husband around.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Andre.
You know something?
Phil, I have to go to the toilet.
What is it with you and the...
I'm not sitting here.
Man, you always got to go to the toilet. And...
keep your mouth shut.
Hey, Mr. Henry, if I overstep my bounds here...
Well, you know something, pal. First, you didn't want to be you didn't want to not be a gentleman. Then you were not a gentleman.
How?
When you're all right, I'm not going to go over there and eat your leftovers with your husband around.
I'm talking about the guy not... She said she wouldn't eat leftovers from me. And so, see, what's the problem I'm having now is this sounds very suggestive. And
not if you're bringing attention to it. Now, when we were talking, you're talking about something completely... Opaque is a restaurant, I think, in Los Angeles that is completely dark. You can't see. The waiters are... they can't see. So the whole thing is dark, and you're trying to figure out what you're eating.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm saying to people, these are leftovers. You're eating the leftovers, and isn't that great? Because they're leftovers, all right? And what we were thinking of, and that's why I wanted to be careful as to how I said that, but you know, you got to turn the TV down, or I'm going to throw that TV right out the front door. Do you understand?
Who is in there?
My kids. Turn it down, or I'm going to pick the TV up. If you want to grab a hold of the TV, all right, if you're holding onto the TV when Daddy picks it up, I'm going to throw the TV and you over the lawn into the street. You think that'll be fun, huh? My kid thinks that it'd be fun.
All right.
So what I'm saying is this. We have a restaurant. It's for leftovers, all right? Now, you can do anything you want with the leftovers. That's what I was saying. And we have the curtained-off booths. So you go ahead and make fun of leftovers, Mr. Henry, but what if you had a leftover that you could eat, you know?
Jogging back. Howdy.
Shut up, bud. I'll handle this, okay?
Yeah.
You could eat what?
Your girlfriend with you, and you ordered, for instance, a leftover, and there's a curtain booth that nobody's going to go into, what do you think you're going to do?
I don't know. Eat dinner?
Oh, yeah. You'll eat dinner, all right.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Okay. I'm going to kick you out of here, too. So what are we talking about? Some kind of a sex play in the booth?
Well, I'm saying that leftovers, Ms. Gray was saying she wouldn't eat somebody else's leftovers. maybe she wouldn't, but maybe, you know, her husband would. And what I mean by that...
You know, get Frank on the phone here. Get Frank Gray on the phone.
What do I mean, get Frank Gray? You kick me out of the studio.
Now I'm telling you to get Frank Gray on the phone, and then I'll kick you out. How does that feel?
All right.
Hey, Phil, I don't want to start no fight or anything.
No, you're not starting anything. You're not starting anything. Get him on the phone. We're talking with Brad Rifkin here on the Phil Henry Show as we discuss the new economy and new kinds of restaurants. We've been talking about Nobu. That's a great restaurant, but that's not a new economy restaurant. That's just a place where the Hollywood celebrities used to hang out. I don't know if they do anymore.
Well, yeah, because they're always changing, you know, where they go. But Nobu used to have all these Hollywood stars in there, and I went in a couple times and looked at them, and I said, okay, I'm done with that. What's next, you know? And then we got this idea, this guy with this opaque. My idea is leftovers. I say to a guy, do you want to eat that spaghetti? No, really? Would you? And then you say, okay, you don't want that guy's spaghetti? No. And Ms. Gray would say, no. I'd say, okay, but what if I could give you that spaghetti and that closed-off booth, and you're, you know.
And you're what?
And he's with his girlfriend.
All right, let me get to Frank Gray is with us on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Brad Rifkin about the restaurant idea that he has for Las Vegas. A friend of his has actually started the beginning stages of opening this restaurant that features leftovers. And not just leftovers from what they cooked this morning and they're serving it this afternoon, leftovers off to somebody else's plate. Frank, you there?
I'm right here, Phil, yeah. Frank Gray. The Gray, this is Brad Rifkin. How are you, sir?
I'm better than Custer.
What's your name? Brad Rifkin.
All right.
What's your business? I'm in the advertising business, sir.
Right. Real good.
Okay, Frank, let me ask you a question. You know, you're a fan of restaurants, and I know that you eat at Ted's, as does Harvey. What do you think about the idea of a restaurant featuring leftovers that you could have served to you in a curtained booth?
Yeah, but you got to tell them.
No, hold on. Just what I said, Frank.
Well, you're talking about getting someone else's food that you are having it served in a booth, in a curtained-off booth?
Yeah.
Well, there's only one reason for that, and that would be to enjoy the intimate and the intimacy of the one that you love. So if I'm sitting there with Margaret, for instance, and we get order a leftover, what kind of leftover am I going to get? You can have any kind of leftover. It's off of a guy's plate, like it's some, let's say it's lasagna he didn't finish. Oh, that sounds interesting. You could take that lasagna, and I'd tell Margaret, let's get to it, and you're eating that lasagna out of his...
All right, let's not...
All right, no, I wasn't going to say anything, but I was just going to say, if you're in the booth with your wife, and he is... I'm assuming they're giving you a curtained-off booth so you can be with your wife, and he's, you know, ready to rock and roll, and you've got this lasagna... Right. So, you know, what's the next natural thing to think of?
Are you two guys putting me on?
I'm not. You just called me.
No, you're right. I did. So are you putting me on, Brad?
No.
I can't. The last thing I'm thinking about, even if I'm in a curtained off booth with a woman that I am in love with or really hot for or whatever you want to say, is, okay, let's have sex?
No. You're not having sex, young man. That's the thing that you're missing. If you're with a woman you love and you are sexually attracted to him, and you disrobe him, you're allowed to disrobe him, and you love this woman, so you take his clothes off.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry, Margaret.
Brad, I'll explain it to you later, but my husband has gender confusion.
Sit here. I don't know what anybody's talking about. Did you say something?
No. Go ahead, Frank.
All right, so. You're in love, and you tell him, okay, let's go. Get him off.
Your wife.
Yeah. Who do you think I'm talking about? Your boyfriend? God, what, think I'm gay?
No, not at all.
Well, you sound gay. And
hold on, Brad. I'll just...
What did I say?
Nothing. He?
My wife.
Margaret, she said nothing.
Anyway, so that's what I would say to him. I'd say, Margaret, get it off. Let's go. I mean, there's no time like the present.
I find that to be... So you're right in step with this.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great idea, and I commend Mr. Rifkin. I congratulate her on her new business. You know, except that I've never been more insulted in my life to be called a her.
All right, let's just put everybody on hold. We got to take a break here.
I think that you know, people need to understand my husband, Frank. He's a wonderful man.
I know he is, and he's got the gender confusion, but Mr. Rifkin, you know, 877.
Right.
Well, he said I congratulate her on her new business. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry
what
Show.
I do wrong. I'm congratulating Mr. Rifkin on her new business.
That's what I'm talking about. What is...
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry
Show. All right, hold on. Yes, I know it looks cool. Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple of program notes. First of all, tomorrow night is Halloween, and if you are watching Phil TV in HD, we'll have some spooky effects here on the TV side of things, so get ready for that.
We've had a lot of questions. Are you going to be wearing your hood, your hooded cape?
Yes, I'll be wearing the hooded cape.
Yeah, and the other question is, does that mean, well...
What?
Does it mean you... will be going over to being gay.
Oh, man, they didn't ask. Get out of here, butter. I'll kick your ass.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, seriously.
Just because a man wears a hooded cape, well...
Yeah, uh-huh. I don't know. It's got nothing to do with gay. I'll be wearing... It has to do with Halloween, okay?
Yeah, but why is that... Why is that Halloween?
A hooded cape? Are you kidding? You look like the freaking executioner or something, man.
Dracula wore?
Who?
Dracula.
Who's Dracula? Are you talking about Dracula?
Yeah.
I don't think Dracula wore a hood, man.
Yeah, well, he had airplane collar. Well, he had a Peter Pan collar. That was the thing about Dracula that made him... I don't think he was that scary.
Why?
Because he had a Peter Pan.
All right, let's forget about Dracula and his Peter Pan collars, okay? Let's get back here with Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising in Las Vegas.
By the way, can I jump in here, Phil, because I aren't...
Go ahead.
Yes, Dracula did wear a Peter Pan collar, and the reason why I'm making an issue out of that is because believe it or not, we had a hostess, maitre d' hostess combo for the restaurant. And
this is the leftover restaurant.
Yes, and we were looking at different uniforms for the servers. We were looking at different uniforms for the hostess as opposed to the maitre d'. Do they wear suits? Do they wear a duck? The duck out, not the duck outfit. What do you call it?
Penguin suit?
Yeah, penguin suit.
The penguin suit.
Well, sorry, I belched.
God!
Margaret, why do you belch on Mike?
Oh, big deal. I had some Lipton green tea. Excuse me, I didn't mean to spit. Did I spit on you?
Yes, all over my shirt.
Sorry. I'm cleaning out. You always ask me these questions when we're on the air.
I just asked you, why did you belch?
I'm cleaning out my colon.
Yeah, so?
Who's talking to you? I'm cleaning my colon out, all right? So I'm flushing it with green tea.
I can hear what she's whispering. I can hear.
Well, Margaret doesn't get the fact that you can whisper on a radio. That's great, Margaret. Thank you very much.
I'm not ashamed of my health regimen, all right?
Then why were you whispering?
All right, I'll say it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm cleaning out my colon with green tea. And that's why I'm taking frequent trips to the bathroom. And when I laugh, I streak.
Oh. Man, I
don't even want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know either.
I don't think I want to know either.
You don't want to know what?
What it means to streak. I don't want to know.
What it means...
Margaret, never mind. All right, so Margaret's cleaning out her colon, and by the way, let's talk food. So at the...
It's not going to bother me.
No, I didn't. So at this leftover-only restaurant, the people come in.
Yeah, so they were coming in, and we had an outfit for the maitre d' that had a Peter Pan look. It was not Peter Pan, and it wasn't Dracula. It just happened to have the high collar that came up. All right, and it was a green... I'm trying to think now. It's a green suit with tails.
A green suit.
Well, Mr. Henry, can I get this out before you start commenting?
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of a green suit with a high Peter Pan collar. Was it a Peter Pan outfit?
No, it was not. That's why I'm trying to say what I'm... This was the maitre d' outfit. This is what we had for the restaurant. It was a green... It was a green waistcoat with tails, slacks that were pegged at the bottom. Green boots, I think. I'd have to ask my wife. Green boots... And a green waistcoat and a high Peter Pan collar and then a white or a satin string tie. And this is what you would be greeted by. Okay, so this, you're not saying nothing. Are you laughing?
I'm barely able to contain my laughter, yeah.
I'm not saying that.
All right, and I heard that guy. Okay, so what's so funny about that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why in a restaurant that...
No. What's so funny about that?
I'm going to tell you, Brad. I don't know why in a restaurant that features leftovers that you spend so much time on such an ornate suit.
Well, it's not so much ornate as it is inexplicable. Why is it a green...
Wait. It's a classy outfit. What are you trying to say?
Classy? What? First of all, a guy's wearing a green waistcoat with a...
You know, Phil, I've been on all kinds of radio shows. I've been on the best. I was just on the Bill Bibbit show, okay?
Who's he?
Oh, yeah, right. Who's he? Bill Bibbit. Bibbit.
I don't know who he is.
I don't know who Bill Bibbit is.
You've never heard of Bill Bibbit. B-I... His name is B-E-N-N-E-T.
Bennett!
What did I say?
Bibbit!
All right, but he's a big name, right?
Bill Bennett is, yeah. Does he have a great radio show? No.
Oh, well, easy for you to say.
Okay, so you went on the Bill Bennett show, who I understand is a conservative commentator of some kind. Did you talk to him about the Peter Pan collars and the...
I wouldn't bore the man with my life. I was listening to him talk about Romney and how everything's going to be way better for business when Romney gets in. You watch.
But with the Phil Hendry show, you come on and tell us about the Peter Pan collar.
I came on to tell you about my restaurant. It was going to be about leftovers and how you could share leftovers with the one that you loved in a curtained-off booth by eating the custard or whatever, lasagna, out of the...
Out of the what?
Out of the crack of... And I won't go any further.
All right, thank you very much, Brad.
Oh, come on, man.
All right, so that was great.
Why you keep the guy going, man? Best in the world.
Oh, God, what? Hey, little girl, are you sure you're in the right place?
What?
Yeah, no kidding, little girl.
What?
Oh, that was the best stuff.
You were really, yeah, you got a little emotional there, bud.
But I thought the guy was funny.
He didn't come on here to be funny, don't you understand? He didn't like being made fun of. So, if he wasn't talking about the Peter Pan collar on... I'm telling you, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life, man. He's got a maitre d' in a green waistcoat with tails, a Peter Pan collar, pegged pants, and green boots. What are you looking at?
Well, I didn't think it was all that funny. I think with some alteration.
Oh, really? It would be really fantastic, huh?
Phil, look at the way you're dressed. You got on some faux Hawaiian shirt with your jeans. What do you know of men's styles?
You know what? I don't know a lot. I know what looks good, and I can walk into a men's store... A good men's store, and I know what to buy, I know what to pick out, I know what to wear. So don't give me that, okay? And I also know what a green Peter Pan collar looks like on a guy with a white string satin tie.
I thought that it sounded like it had potential.
I'm going to tell you something, Margaret. I'll tell you this. I dare you to get Frank into that outfit.
Yeah, there you go.
I dare you to get... What happened to Frank, by the way?
He's on hold.
Where the hell... What do you mean he's on hold? Why don't we have... Bud, get the poor man. Frank, have you been hanging on all this time?
I'm better than Custer. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Frank?
I'm better than Custer. How are you doing?
I'm fine, buddy. Have you been on hold all this time?
I'm better than Custer. How are you doing?
It's no use.
Frank?
I'm better than Custer. How are you doing?
What happened?
It's no use. He gets into that phase where the gender confusion and the late hour, and he just repeats the same thing because it's easy. He doesn't want to have to deal with the world after a certain hour. What time is it?
It's 11, almost 11:30.
After 11 o'clock, he doesn't want to...
He doesn't want to deal with anything.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked to him before after 11 o'clock.
About things that are light, airy, puffy, marshmallowy, a lot, that they have a lot of egg white in them, but not about the heavy, heavy issues of the day.
Yeah, like wearing a Peter Pan collar.
You know what? I am cleansing my colon.
Yeah, go ahead, Margaret, to the toilet. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
I'm better than Cutter.
Phil Henry.
Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. We're very glad to meet your acquaintance here this evening. Glad you're with us. We last night talked a lot about the weather. Tonight, and it was pretty intense. I wouldn't say intense, but we were talking about the weather and the possible the ramifications as the evening progressed of what may be happening, what people could expect, etc. And I just kind of noticed tonight we haven't talked about anything, you know.
Yes, we've talked about the economy. We've talked about restaurants.
Well, I mean, we got hung up on some Peter Pan collar.
Well, don't get all...
Well, I mean, it just seems to me tonight we've been talking about a lot of garbage, man. You know, we're talking about restaurants, Peter Pan collars, etc., you know. So I wanted to... get on the line here, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association to discuss a little bit about this home sale thing we're talking about. I wanted to get into it with Brad, and we were unable to do that. And the Dooleys are going to be with us here in just a second. You getting them, bud?
Yeah, Mr. Dooley. Yeah.
Have you got them?
Yeah, well.
Are they on the phone or not?
Are they on the phone?
No.
Well, what do you hear?
Well, right now, dial tone.
Well, call him up, man. Gotta call him, man. You got the number?
Yeah.
Well, why aren't you calling him?
Okay. You want me to call him?
Are you kidding me, man?
You didn't say. I'm just sitting here with a dial tone.
I assume, bud, when you have the phone next to your ear, that you are, you know.
Yeah.
You're calling him?
Not yet.
Call them now. You gonna call them now?
When you say to call, I will.
He just told you to, you moron.
Okay, so I'm calling.
Gets fantastic. He's calling now. That's great. This is Bud, man. This is a guy that, you know, I will say this for Bud. He never really, he doesn't do anything unless he's absolutely sure he should. So that's why we always have this marvelous, this wonderful period of, I just don't know, you know, when to call or not. All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us on the line here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're going to be talking, as I mentioned, about home sales and about the frequency of sales there at Western Estates. And I'm very, very curious, Bobby, as we talk about these things, whether or not you're seeing, what do they call it, turnover?
Well, I don't know if you would call it turnover, if you call previously owned homes. We've had a couple of new families moving in here over the summer, but it was pretty slow, Phil, until the last month. And we have seen a pickup in the number of sales.
Bobby, this is Margaret. Are they the high-end homes? Are they the townhouses?
Actually, it's a good question. They're mostly the townhouses. I wanted to also, should I, Steve?
You go ahead and ask about it. Mr. Henry, I want to ask a question.
Okay.
We heard during the break you were talking about people who had prosthetic eyes, and I wanted to mention to Margaret that I had heard you singing that ode that you had been singing. You know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, my God. You heard You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Yes, it was your wonderful ode to a friend of yours who had lost an eye, I think.
It was a sporting event. It was a freak accident, Phil. It was a pole vaulting event. I don't know if you know Vlad Turner. He was an Olympian.
I think I've heard the name, yeah.
He lost his right eye in a pole vaulting event. And as a tribute to him, when we played the benefit at UCLA, I sang Bachman Turner Overdrive's You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
But you did an ode to that that I thought was wonderful. It was a...
You did an ode to the man...
What are you smiling at? What are you smiling at?
I'm sorry.
I feel really, if I did an ode to a friend of mine who lost an eye.
I apologize.
And you're giggling like a child.
I apologize.
Well, could we hear Margaret sing that again? Because it's a wonderful song.
Well, I actually have you on to talk about the economy.
I think it's the least you can do.
All right. Okay, fine. We'll have Ms. Gray sing You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
What are you laughing about?
I don't know, but I'm about to get up and hit you with this fan.
I apologize. Margaret's going to sing You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. And this is her ode to her friend.
My friend who... hold on for a minute. Hold on. My friend who lost his eye... And by the way, this is Frank's band, the band that Frank has with his friends in Beverly Hills. Is Bobby there? Is Bobby?
Yeah, I'm right here. Yeah, hi.
Bobby, this is Frank's band. I don't even want to talk to Phil. This is Frank's band.
This is called... The band is three studs and a bar stool, right?
Three studs and a bar stool. And this is them doing You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Right.
All right, could we put Ms. Dooley on hold? Thank you very much. Here is Margaret Gray with her husband Frank's backing band.
I met a devil woman, and she took my heart away. She said I had it coming to me, but I wanted it that way. I said that any love is good loving, so I got what I could get, yes, ooh. She looked at me with those big brown eyes. See? What?
She looked at me with that big brown eye, huh?
Oh, here he goes. You're going to start getting all heavy on me and serious, huh?
Well, I don't you call that an ode to a... Will you turn that off, bud?
I wanted to sing the rest.
Well, you're not singing the rest.
Mr. Hendry, I came on this program as your guest.
I understand that, Ms. Dooley, and I know that you wanted to hear her sing the ode to the one-eyed guy that she knew.
This man was an Olympian, Vlad Palmer.
A minute ago, it was Vlad Carson or something.
I forgot.
He was an Olympian pole vaulter. He lost his eye in a pole vaulting event.
Yes.
And she wrote this song.
She didn't write a song. She dropped an S off a word. She looked at me with her big brown eye.
That's exactly right.
It was an ode to this poor man who was injured, Phil, and you were the ones that were talking about prosthetic eyes.
I had been watching I was watching something during the break where a poor woman had lost vision in one of her eyes as the result of that bombing, of that Kenyan bombing of the embassy. And I was asking, Dan, what's the matter?
Wait, he's going to start giving us his life story. Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Talk about rude.
No, go ahead. You're going to give us your life story. Go ahead.
I'm going to explain and answer the lady's question.
Oh, look, there's Shannon Doherty.
I still think she's pretty hot.
Okay, forget it. Thank you very much, Ms. Dooley.
Well, why are you punishing me?
Thank you very much. All right, let's move on.
Well, why did you hang up on her?
Because you guys are you're looking at Shannon Doherty. Nobody wants to listen to what I've got to say about what happened during the break that caused me to be talking about people's vision and their eyes in the first place. And then comes Ms. Dooley, and she wants to hear you singing, He Looked at Me with His One Good Eye, or whatever the thing is called.
It's He Looked at Me with His Big Brown Eye.
And this is an ode... that you, quote, wrote.
Good night.
No, 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 no. I told you, if you get up and you walk out of here, you're fired.
Good evening.
Yeah, see, she's sitting back down again.
Well, why do I have to sit here and take this?
Oh, you're going to start blubbering? Margaret, you got to act like a woman, okay? A grown... don't say anything. A grown-up woman. Now, that's an asinine... Your friend with one eye, he... You gotta, I'm sorry, you just got to accept it's funny.
Well, it is kind of funny when you think about it.
Well, I don't see anything funny about a man losing his eye.
I don't see anything funny about that either. What I do see something funny about is a woman singing an ode to him by simply singing, "You ain't seen nothing yet."
Man, Phil, I've never seen you laugh this much in all the time.
Well, I'm laughing tonight, man. I gotta tell you, it's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
A man lost his eye, Phil.
Margaret, you can't hide behind the fact that your friend lost his eye. I'm sorry that he did, but you're the one that took it to the most asinine extreme ever by singing, "You ain't seen nothing yet. He looked at me with his one big brown eye."
I didn't sing that. I said he looked at me with his big brown eye. Can I just do, I'll do it a cappella, and you'll feel it. You'll just, I know you'll understand.
Go ahead.
I met a devil woman, do, 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 do. You know the part, he goes, and he looked at me with his one good eye and said, "You ain't seen nothing yet." Now, that was the original lyric. I changed it before I did the performance at UCLA. I changed it back to, he looked at me with his one, no, what was it? God, I wish Frank was here.
Well, I'm not putting either, Frank's not getting back on the air.
Well, what did he do wrong?
Go ahead.
He looked at me with his one big brown eye. You know, like that. But it's really, it goes, he looked at me with his big brown eye. So I didn't even sing the lyric that I wanted to sing, which was, he looked at me with his one good eye.
Okay.
And still you persecute me. Still you bleed me. Still you scourge me. Still you shove the crown of thorns down.
All right, Margaret, don't get so dramatic, okay? Still you scourge me. Still, I ask you, don't sing the song because it is not a respectful song. It sounds to me like you're doing comedy.
I got a couple of chuckles, yes.
Oh, yeah, but I'm the guy that's laughing inappropriately. All right, we'll be right back, folks. 877-876-PHIL. By the way, I feel like I've got something in my left eye, which is no comment.
Oh, yeah, right. Now you're making your jokes.
No, it's not a comment on you, and I actually do feel like I have something in my left eye. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is
you
our bitch.
You looked at me with a big brown
the
eye.
Phil Hendry Show.
Did you not see it?
Then you don't even know how to sing it.
Yeah, I do. You're not going to see anything yet.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Ted Bell from Ted's in Beverly Hills is joining us from Beverly Hills tonight. Ted, I know you want to weigh in on the singing and the business end of this conversation. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, and we don't need to, this is not a commercial announcement. I know we had you and I had a little difference of opinion there. You know, when I was on the last time, I'm not trying to get free commercial time. I appreciate you putting me on the air. I wanted to comment because I did hear Margaret was singing "You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet," Margaret, and I like that.
Well, it was an ode to Vlad Jones.
Well, now it's Vlad Jones. So
it was Vlad Carson, Vlad Palmer.
Excuse me, I'm trying not to belch. I'm sorry.
That is so crude.
I would rather let the gas come out and not ruin the lining of my esophagus than hold it in.
No comment, all right? No comment. But, Margaret, you know, I've known you and Frank for a lot of years, and I love and respect both of you very much.
Thank you.
But I will tell you, if it was anybody else who did that in my restaurant, I'd throw them right through the door. I'd use their head to open the door. That's how much, but I wouldn't do it to you.
Well, of course you wouldn't do it to me, because if you did it to me, there would not be much more of your life left.
Well, I mean, okay, if you want to put it that way. Wow.
Well, Margaret.
He's talking about opening a door with my head.
Not you. It would probably be Frank or the man that was with you, whoever that would be.
That would be my husband.
All right. Well, I would never anticipate doing it because I would never, I wouldn't let you do it. I wouldn't do it to you. I said I would do it to somebody else. This is taking me far afield of the reason why I called in, Phil. I'm calling in because the night the lights went out on Broadway, you were talking about the singing, and you mentioned Billy Joel, and you mentioned the Guess Who.
Well, I was talking, when we were talking about Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
Right, Bachman-Turner Overdrive, and I heard you say that they're very big in Miami, right?
Bachman-Turner Overdrive, not now, but I mean back in the day when I was at a rock station in Miami, we played a lot of Guess Who, we played a lot of BTO, and we played Billy Joel. And I think it's because in Miami at that time, there were New Yorkers and there were Canadians. You had a lot of Canadians coming for the winter.
Well, you don't have to give us the tourists, just...
Hey, Margaret, you know something? Don't direct the interview, all right?
Yeah, come on, Margaret, easy. So you were saying about Bachman-Turner Overdrive, about the song, and Randy Bachman had that way of singing.
Yeah, but I said, you know, I like those guys. They're good. I like Billy Joel. I would not call myself a fan of Billy Joel, and I, this is no comment on Billy Joel. He's, you know, he's a great, God knows he doesn't need Phil Henry, but just for me, Billy Joel is one of those guys that writes good songs. I hear songs that he writes that I like. And I also hear songs that he writes that I, you know, that I don't like.
Well, all right. That's what I want to comment on, because, Margaret, I think what Phil is saying here, it's not so much that he doesn't like their singing, it's just that particular song.
That's exactly right.
When you're singing, you know, he looked at me with a big brown eye, and, of course, the first thing I had to do was turn the radio off because I had Luke in the car with me, my son. And
why would you turn the radio? Why?
Because you're talking about a big brown eye.
Don't raise your voice, okay?
Well, I can't understand why she doesn't understand that, you know?
I don't know what that means.
All right, well, Margaret, let's just put it this way. You know, it can mean something crude, all right?
Yeah, it means...
Shut up. Nobody's asking you, and you're on the air.
You got to put a leash on that. I don't know what the... You know, that you got that in the studio?
I got what?
That, what's his name, Bud?
Yeah.
Well, you better put a leash or a dog collar on it, because he's... I don't know. But anyway, that's what I was talking about, okay? Now,
what were you talking... I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the fact... I'm talking...
Look at Ted. Lower your voice, man.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the fact that Billy Joel wrote songs that are memorable, but not all of them. Like the one that you were talking about. What was it?
I said the song that I like from Billy Joel is New York State of Mind.
Yeah, okay, all right. New York State of Mind. Then he did the other one... When the Lights Went Out on Broadway. You know that one? Now, that's the one, Bud, you were telling me.
Yeah, that's the one that goes, that's the night that the lights went out on Broadway, when they killed an innocent man.
What?
What is that?
That's the night the light...
No, I know what Bud's saying. That's the night the lights went out on Broadway, and they strung up an innocent man.
That's not the song I'm thinking of.
Well, it better be, because if you're talking about a song called The Night the Lights Went Out on Broadway...
No, that's not it. That's the night the lights went out, but it's some other place.
That's the night the lights went out, but it's some other place. Is that the name of it?
No, that's not the name of it.
Yeah, I know. The night. Sing it again, Bud.
That's the night that...
Well, I can do it better. That's the night that the lights went out on Broadway. That's the night that they did something to an innocent man.
They killed him is what they did.
Yeah, they executed him.
Yeah, on Broadway.
No, I know what it is. They say the neon lights are bright on the Broadway.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway. We're getting further and further away from whatever this song is.
No, you got it right. I just don't know. The melody sounds wrong, you know.
I'm telling you right now, that ain't it.
It goes like this. They say the neon lights are bright when they killed an innocent man. I know it's something like that.
Man, you got that so far jacked up, you don't... Yeah, it'll never recover, man.
Yeah, we'll never get the melody now. You just took a whole left turn with that.
But you're singing the song on Broadway, okay?
Ain't that what you guys are saying?
No, we're not saying that. We're saying the lights went out or something went out.
Yeah, you better believe something.
It sounds to me like the whatever bulb was over your heads collectively just went out. I think you guys have burned out the one good idea bulb that went...
Okay, Ted, you know, I'm sorry, I can't think of it.
Well, the whole reason why I'm saying all this is, you know, Billy Joel used to come into my restaurant. Billy Joel lived out here. He was with his wife at the time,
Christy Brinkley.
No, it wasn't her. It was the other one. It was the one that made him, the one that managed him, the one that,
Well, I don't know.
All right, anyway, they used to come here all the time. And I'd say to him, Billy, I love you. I think you're fantastic. Why don't you... Do the piano, man, huh? Because I had a piano at that time. He had an upright, and he'd say, oh, no, you know, he'd blow me off. And I'd be like, okay. And that's when I started to hate him, you know? And
why would you hate the guy? Why would you hate him? He's in your restaurant eating, right?
Yeah.
And he's patronizing your restaurant. Why would you hate him?
I asked him if he would do me the honor. I would be honored if he would come in a couple of nights a week and, you know, tinkle the ivories.
Billy Joel.
Yeah, no. Liberace. Who do you think I'm talking about?
Billy Joel is a big star. Even when he came into your restaurant, he was a big star, right?
What do you mean by big star?
Had he had to hit record?
Had he come out with the Piano Man?
How does that go?
Sing me a song, you're a piano man. Sing me a song, you're a piano man. Like that.
I guess.
Well, was he a star or wasn't he? Did you know of him? Did you know him?
Yeah, I did. I knew him, and I knew his wife.
And you want this guy to play piano in your lounge?
Big deal. I asked the guy, would you hold forth a couple of nights?
Yeah, let me ask, did you put a jar on the piano?
Of course.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ted. He's got to be kidding me. Billy Joel is going to sing with a jar on the piano.
Well, you just said you didn't like him.
I would never insult the man that way. Whether I didn't say I didn't like him. I like him a lot. I don't know. I'll tell you, I saw him and Elton John.
Oh, you saw that tour?
I saw Billy Joel and Elton John in Miami, and it was phenomenal. It was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. We'll be back next hour.